Hey, Money Buddies, Skylar here, and I'm interrupting your regularly scheduled weekly programming with a few bonus episodes this week because I'm launching a brand new podcast called Financial Planning for Young Adults, and the first 5 episodes are available right now. I'm going to be releasing them on this feed as well to give you a taste of my brand new show. If you've been following Money Talk, you know that I'm all about making personal finance simple, actionable, and honestly way less intimidating than the industry makes it out to be. And this new show takes that approach and dials it up specifically for young adults in their 20s or early 30s who feel like they should have this whole money thing figured out by now and want to get it under control. Here's what we're launching my brand new show with. Episode 1, Crafting Your Financial Why. Before you can build any sort of financial plan, you need to know why money matters to you. Episode 2 is I Made My Wife Cry About Money. Yes, that's not clickbait. It's a real story about how my perfectly optimized spreadsheet brought my wife to tears, and you're going to enjoy the story behind that one. Episode 3 is how to build a financial plan in your 20s, and this is where I break down the actual framework. What do you need to focus on right now versus what can wait? And I cut through all the noise and complexity to give you a clear roadmap. Episode 4 is estate planning is simple and easy. And I know that estate planning sounds like something that's for rich old people, but here's the thing. You need to make sure that you have some basic estate planning in place, even if you're only 18 years old. And I'm going to show you how to get 80% of it done, and maybe even all of it done for absolutely free. You're going to love that episode. And then episode 5 of my launch day extravaganza is enjoy spending money with buckets and sinking funds. And this one is about how to actually enjoy spending money without guilt. I'm going to share how my wife and I use sinking funds for our trip to Hawaii. And I'm going to show you an easy way to use buckets to reconsider budgeting. And all 5 of these episodes are live and available right now in whatever podcast app you're using. So just search Financial Planning for Young Adults or check the link in the very top of the show notes. And these aren't your parents' boring financial lectures. Every episode is story-driven and practical, and I'm designing these all to help you take action every single week, not someday when you have enough money or when you get around to it. So please, search Financial Planning for Young Adults, subscribe, and binge those first 5 episodes, and please let me know what you think. Drop a comment on YouTube or Spotify or send me an email at fpyapod@gmail.com. And if you would also please leave a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm building this show for each and every one of you, Money Buddies, so your feedback matters. So let's get into this special bonus episode from Financial Planning for Young Adults. Money Talk will be back on Thursday with yet another great Money Talk. So enjoy, Money Buddies. All of a sudden, I turn around and I can hear tears welling up in my wife's eyes. What did I say? I was just talking about our plan to pay off her student loans, and I did a ton of work figuring out the optimal way for us to pay them off while still being able to invest. I had it all planned out, and the math was perfectly optimized. Why was she crying? So picture this, you're in your first apartment, that kind of dumpy place that has a little bit of a draft, and you're sitting down getting ready to talk about money. Imagine the emotions and weight that comes with that sort of a conversation. It was time to finally address the elephant in our financial situation, and that's my wife's student loans. We got about $58,000 worth of student loans from her time in PA school and her PA program. Even though our debt was lower than the average student coming out of PA school, it was still a big topic regardless of how much debt you have, whether you have $10,000 of student loan debt or you have $110,000 or more. I was a pretty big Dave Ramsey disciple coming up in my personal finance education and everything around that. So I wanted nothing to do with student loans. I wanted to stay far, far away from them. After all, weren't they the worst thing since unsliced bread? But my wife's perspective was a much more realistic and appropriate one. She was much more practical and realized that some student loans were going to be necessary for her to go to PA school. Our financial challenges mirrored what so many of you are also facing. There was mounting stress, emotional weight. Will we be able to find a job that can actually pay for these student loans? There's the battle between the logical financial math side of things and the emotional reactions. And I was fully prepared with that perfect optimized financial plan math sort of approach. And after years of discussion, COVID payment pauses and interest rate pauses and loan servicer changes, now is the time for my spreadsheets to shine. There I was, spreadsheets ready, calculations perfect, mathematically perfect option in hand, ready to go. and there are tears welling up in my wife's eyes. What am I supposed to do about this? How am I supposed to handle this? My math doesn't teach me how to handle my wife crying about her student loans. So what am I supposed to do? Well, before we get into the exact specifics of what you can do to balance the logic and emotions behind student loans, I want to talk about before PA school. What did we do to prepare for this situation? Student loans were always a talking point in our life. Would we need them? I was always a little bit frustrated when the idea would come up. I was deep in the Dave Ramsey rabbit hole and ready to be debt-free forever. This led to some early arguments and money fights. My wife was much more realistic about needing student loans, and she did not want them to be a reason that she had to delay going to PA school. I was hesitant. I thought these were the worst thing ever and needed to be avoided at all costs. I was worried that these student loans were going to be a big sticking point for us and cause real problems. And thankfully, I came around to them. So there wasn't a whole lot of money fights around that. I accepted the reality. Also, my wife is a lot more practical about this sort of stuff, so she was able to talk me into it. But that leads us into PA school, and more particularly COVID and the COVID benefits that came for student loans. Now that we were getting into PA school, we realized right out the gate that we were going to need to use student loans, but we realized there was some great opportunity. And I know it's not the same sort of times now where there's interest rate pauses and whatnot, but there is still good opportunity that can be had from student loans, especially if you're able to get some at a lower interest rate, or maybe that there is some sort of forgiveness program that you're lined up for. There are some opportunities with student loans that you can still consider. We honestly got lucky with the massive interest rate pause that happened during COVID. We took out all of the loans that we can, because if there's anything that math says, 0% is a good loan to take out if you can pay it off in time. So we took out all the loans that we needed. And thankfully, we were able to use some of those early loans that were at a much lower rate, even 0% at the beginning. When interest payments resumed, they were still at a much lower, like 4% rate or something like that. Something incredible that we were able to use to reduce our need for those 7% loans at the end of PA school. Most of you likely know that graduate students don't get the same sort of benefits that undergraduate degrees get when it comes to student loans. And now this is a soapbox of mine. I don't get why graduate programs don't get subsidized loans, but thankfully there was the COVID interest rate pauses and loan payment pauses that allowed us to take these opportunities with student loans and use them to our advantage. We were able to use some of that very low interest rate money to pay for tuition, like I mentioned, when the interest rates were going up. And we also were able to put that 0% student loan into I-bonds. Now, I-bonds, they're an investment that you can make with the government. They're a type of bond that tracks with inflation. And so since inflation rates were high during this time period, those bonds were high. And then we were able to take that money out of those I-bonds and use it towards qualified education expenses tax-free. So not only did we get 0% or very low interest rates on those beginning student loans, but we were able to put them into I-bonds so that when the interest rate payments came back, we were able to pull those out and use it towards tuition to avoid taking on higher student loans. And that gain on the I-bonds was tax-free because it was for qualified education expenses. And now, of course, there's some more specifics about how you actually get it tax-free. So make sure to do your research before you go plowing money into I-bonds just from this one episode. So now we're chugging right along. The math is working out in our favor. I have finally come around to getting student loans and using these to our advantage with I-bonds and 0% rates and using the money for future tuition by putting it in our savings account. We are just chugging along, using the student loans to our advantage. This leads us to after PA school. The math really worked out in our favor during PA school. We were on top of our game when it came to using these student loans. So naturally, I wanted to do the exact same thing after PA school. Let's keep the math rolling. I had the math all figured out. I was ready to pay off the student loans over a long time horizon and invest and make sure to use our time wisely when it came to investing while we were young. Because we did pause investing during my wife's time in PA school, and she knew that was a big sticking point for me. That was a real challenge for me to overcome because I know the value of compound interest, and so does my wife. We paused investing during PA school in order to make sure we had the money to live on and to pay for what we could for PA school. So my plan, after all of this, I was ready with the math. I turned around and mentioned we're going to pay off these student loans over 10 years. And that's when my wife started to cry. I had no idea why. And then she mentioned to me that that time frame just wasn't going to work. Why not? Why would it not work? Oh, it was perfect. The math was perfect. It was mathematically perfect. And this is a moment where a money fight could break out. We could have got really upset with each other, maybe not quite to fists, but I could have let my emotions rise and got angry at the idea that we needed to pay off the student loans faster because we had been holding off on investing and now was the time to invest. My plan was going to allow for that. I could have been upset about all the work that I put into building this spreadsheet and our payoff plan, and now we're just going to throw it away and not follow any of that. So this is where we begin to actually understand some of our desire with these student loans. And our desire now was to figure out a way to balance them, and I thought I had done that. It's a desire that's shared by so many others, including many of you listening. You don't want to be in such a money mess. You want to figure out this whole money mess and what you're doing with your finances. It's challenging. It can be really difficult, and I know you agree. We were bringing up this conversation a lot, not because we wanted to, but because it matters. And this is where our budget meetings came into play. You've likely heard me talk about budget meetings before, but what is a budget meeting? This was a specific time with specific topics each month for us to sit down and lay out our budget for the next month, but also a specific time for us to talk about these money topics, whether it was student loans or investing or insurance. It was a time for us to sit down, know that we were going to talk about money-related matters, and come into it with an open mind about how we were going to balance and juggle all these different things we wanted to do with our money. Budget meetings for us were absolutely essential. I would honestly say they're the only reason that my wife and I are doing so well with our money, because we talk about it every single month with routine, with specific topics in mind. So if you're considering, how can I improve my relationship with my spouse or significant other with money, have a set budget meeting. It's a huge deal. So one of the things that would come up in our budget meetings was our desire to invest. My wife and I both knew the power of compound interest, but we held off for so long while we were in PA school. We needed to start doing this ASAP. That was a key thing that we wanted to balance. And we wanted to pay on the student loans and not rely on forgiveness or the government actually being able to do something. So we knew that we were going to have to make payments towards these. Government stimulus early in our marriage was actually a hurdle that we had to overcome, because we felt like we were getting so much benefit from student loan interest rate pauses, stimulus money, that we were worried we were just living on the government. If you want to talk more about that, or you have ever had concerns like that where you're living on other people's dime, leave a comment down below. I'd be interested to hear if any of you also had thoughts like that during COVID and stimulus payments. Did you feel some stress around not being able to provide for yourself? I'd love to hear your feedback down in the comments below, either on Spotify or on YouTube. So now let's get into the real meat and potatoes that you came for. I am still trying to grasp why my wife is crying, and maybe you're a little bit faster and you're picking up on it throughout this episode, but my great and powerful spreadsheet was right there. The math couldn't be clearer. What was she missing? What was I missing? That was the key. My wife mentioned that she didn't want to pay these student loans over such a long time horizon. She didn't want to pay them off over that long of a time period because she didn't want to be stuck and required to work over that long of a time period. And she felt like that was a huge hurdle that she wanted to overcome. And even though we had done our finances together, our entire marriage, and she knew that I would support her changing jobs, taking a break to help us maybe start a family, take a mini retirement, or whatever it may be, she knew that I would support her in that. But to her, these student loans still felt like a burden hanging over her head that just needed to be gone in order for her to truly feel like she didn't have to work, that she wasn't completely required to work. And that's because these student loans, they were tied to her career. So that was a completely valid feeling, even though we did all of our finances together. And just like that, my spreadsheet tossed out the window. It was gone. Paying off our student loans over that long of a time horizon wasn't an option anymore. And honestly, this unlocked everything for us. We began to understand our why with our money. You should go back and listen to episode 1, where I talked about finding your financial why. We began to understand what money meant to us. This allowed us to see money through a whole new light, and I was finally able to start truly considering the emotional side of our money, because for so long, with PA school and interest rates, it was a math-based approach. But now emotion was really starting to come into our financial picture, and that changed everything for us. After I thankfully finally realized this, and my wife was like, thanks for finally getting on board and understanding how to do this money. So now that we were able to finally connect on an emotional level about what this money meant to us and what these student loans meant, now we were able to say, how long do we want to actually take to pay off these loans? And don't forget about my original concern of being able to invest enough. That was certainly a discussion point, because we had waited to invest and my wife knew that this was going to be a huge sticking point for us. This took us months to figure out. It changed because we refinanced some student loans, which I'm going to talk about in the case study here in just a moment later in this episode. Refinancing can be a great option to consider. But we also were considering, do we need to lock in a higher payment in order to refinance? How high of a payment do we want? Do we want cash flow freedom or stick to a strict plan? What did all of this mean for our financial situation? And now, before you get a deep dive and a deep look into our financial situation with these student loans, how did it all start? Well, we were on completely separate paths with student loans. I wanted to avoid them at all costs, and my wife throughout this whole process was much more realistic and practical. But now it flipped at the end where I was so math focused and wanted to make the student loans work and said, let's keep them. Remember at the beginning how I said, let's avoid them at all costs? And then suddenly at the end, I was saying we should keep the student loans for 10 years or more. My wife is always the middle of the road that helps pull me back into some common sense approaches with our money. But the emotions were a huge swinging factor for us. They were something that we absolutely had to consider. And if you're thinking about any sort of big money decision, make sure you consider the emotional impact of it all. But now we are much more willing to bring up emotion in our financial discussions right out the gate. We have figured out a payoff plan that we're comfortable with that spans over about 3 years or so, and it's about $500 a month. We landed on 3 years because we thought about two, we thought about five, and three is just what felt comfortable to us and our cash flow situation and that $500 a month extra payment. You might be balancing so many different financial priorities that you're trying to juggle, and it feels overwhelming. Try to find a middle path between all of them, and especially find that middle path between aggressive debt paydown and quality of life, because it's going to be so much more enjoyable when you do land on that middle road and you can truly balance everything. The balance is out there. We found an option that worked for us, and guess what? It adjusts. Right now we're saving for another big goal and our investing came down. Listen to this. We didn't invest anything into our IRAs last month. You probably gasped and nearly dropped whatever you're holding in your hand. But sometimes that's okay. Sometimes we throw extra money at debt. Sometimes we've thrown it at investments. There was a month where we invested like $4,000 many months ago because we had some extra money laying around. An extra money rule is very important to have, but that's where all the fun is in all this. Your plan doesn't have to be set in stone. In fact, it's never set in stone. It's going to change and something will always come up. I hope you enjoyed that story and kind of a walkthrough from the beginning to the end of my wife's student loans and how we've handled it. I want to give you a deep dive into more of the numbers and specifics here today. So make sure if you're watching the show on YouTube or Spotify, head over and watch the video because I'm going to show some numbers and examples on screen, but I'll make sure to detail it for those of you listening over audio so you can still follow along. But now let's get into today's case study. Thank you for staying tuned and let's get into the case study. I found some great research that I want to share here and I'll of course put it up on the screen for you to be able to see some of these stats that I'm reading, but this is going to help give you an insight as to why our money conversation led to tears. Well, I found a great article. I'll link it in the show notes. It's called How Couples Can Make Confident Money Decisions by Balancing Data, Emotions, and Intuition. Some might see it simply as numbers and others will recognize the emotions and feelings. That's the difference between my wife and I. It doesn't have to be a problem, and the first big step is to recognize it and embrace that we can balance money in an emotional and logical way. One of the quotes that really hit home for me is this one here on screen. It says, "Sometimes we use our financial data, spreadsheets, and financial projections to protect and hide ourselves from our financial emotions, feelings, and intuitions." This quote really hits home for me and drives home some of the challenges that non-emotional people can face with money. Are you just hiding behind your spreadsheets? Are you not facing your financial fears and emotions even though the numbers seem to work out on your spreadsheets? And student loans can be a completely different beast when it comes to our finances and our emotions and managing them. The psychological toll of student debt has a profound impact on borrowers' lives and well-being, even for those making their monthly payments, and many make sacrifices to do so, including staying in unsatisfactory jobs, delaying homeownership, and delaying starting a family. The burden of debt also contributes to acute mental health issues, including prolonged stress, anxiety, and feelings of shame. Another article I found called Student Loan Anxiety, How Debt Affects Your Mental Health, is linked in the show notes. These stats shown on screen may be grim, but they are the reality we have to deal with because there's no shortage of grim statistics when it comes to our student loans and their effect on our mental health. 60% of borrowers report that student loan debt has negatively affected their mental health. 1 in 4 borrowers have had suicidal ideation because of student loan debt. 9 out of 10 borrowers have experienced significant anxiety because of their student loan debt. And 53% of borrowers have experienced depression as a result of their student loan debt. So why do we share these statistics? Well, two reasons. First, it's important to recognize that you're not alone. If you're struggling emotionally or mentally, or you have real stress because of your student loans, you're in the company of millions of other borrowers, and it's okay. We can all overcome this. Effectively managing your difficult emotions requires being open and honest about them. Ignoring the anxiety and depression that you feel when you think about your student loans isn't going to help, and it's certainly not going to help make your student loans go away. So you do have to face these openly and honestly, and that's where Money Talks can be so valuable. So if you're feeling significant stress or anxiety around your student loans, take the first step today and leave a comment on this episode about what you're feeling, and I would love to help talk about it a little bit and help you get a grasp on how to manage your student loans. So now let's dive into my wife and I's case study, and I'm going to show some of these stats on screen. So I'm going to read them off here for you so that everyone listening can understand what we're dealing with. Our debt picture was a total student loan debt of $58,000, almost $59,000. They were all federally unsubsidized graduate loans. The interest rates were 5 to 7%. Graduation was in August of 2024, and we were set to start repayment about 6 months later. Thankfully, we did have a fully funded emergency fund, which can be a key factor in deciding whether you want to pay off student loans early or not. That emergency fund is a huge help and a huge stress reliever. Our income picture, my wife's starting salary is about $103,000. It's gone up to about $113,000. I'm actually between jobs, so that's something to consider too, is I left a job while we were still paying on these student loans. So for both Rebecca and I, the emotional reality was that $60,000. That number was an overwhelming burden to think about. There was anxiety around it. We realized everything would change once we began to put pen to paper or number to spreadsheet and build an actual plan around it. For Rebecca, those loans carried an extra weight because they were tied to her career. That was a huge driving factor for her wanting to pay them off early. We were really able to define three key values that helped drive a lot of our decisions with this: intentionality, opportunity, and optionality. We wanted to make sure we were flexible, had opportunity for future choices, but that each financial decision served a purpose. These values were everything for us when it came to deciding our actual payoff plan, which was to target payoff for about 3 years, 3.5 years after graduation. We settled on a monthly payment of $500, which was $100 required and about $400 extra. Our payoff method was going to be the avalanche method because we knew that we could handle paying on the highest interest rate first. We didn't need that driving factor that the snowball method can provide. So how did we land on 3.5 years? Well, that's just where it felt comfortable for us based on cash flow needs and timing on job changes or anything that Rebecca might consider around her work. So I hope that helps give you an insight into how we decided to pay off the student loans. And of course, we automated everything so we didn't have to think about it. We found a plan that wasn't so aggressive that it forced us to sacrifice, but still allowed us to feel some relaxation and reduce stress around the student loans. And I want to talk about another thing that really reduced our stress: refinancing. It saved us almost $2,500. And given that we're paying them off early, it's going to save us more than that. But we didn't refinance blindly. We ran these numbers carefully, and this can be a huge thing to consider for each and every one of you. We refinanced about $20,500 worth of loans at 4.36%. We took them away from federal because we didn't need the protections on them, but the ones that were at a lower rate, we left them as a federal loan. Now, the math is really where refinancing actually mattered. Without refinancing, we were going to pay about $6,500 in interest. With refinancing, we were going to pay $4,100 in interest. That's about $2,400 in money saved just by refinancing the loans. It was a no-brainer for us. We had that cutoff rate of 4.36%. Anything above that got refinanced. Anything below that got left with our loan provider. And you may think, well, there's those federal protections. We didn't really care about them because we knew we had a plan to pay off the loans faster than any forgiveness plan. We knew that we wouldn't qualify for a great income-driven repayment plan. And we weren't worried about loan forgiveness because, frankly, I don't know if it'll ever really happen on a wide scale. I don't trust the government to do that, so that's why we weren't afraid of losing those federal protections. This was a calculated decision for us. Given our stable and high income at the time and our fully funded emergency fund, we knew we could ramp up our student loan payoff. That $2,400 in guaranteed savings from our interest rate reduction far outweighed any other decision, whether it was locking in a higher payment or anything like that. We wanted to save money on these loans, and that was one way to do it. And the key thing here is that was the decision that was right for us. Your decision may not be the same one. Maybe you do need to go after student loan forgiveness through some public student loan forgiveness program, and that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to refinance them and pay them off as fast as possible. That's what's so fun about all this, is we get to do whatever we want. Financial planning is not one size fits all. So of course, you heard me mention throughout this episode, invest, 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 and we need to make sure we're investing as well as paying on these loans. So what was the trade-off? Let's talk about the retirement trade-off a little bit here. Well, there's four steps that I think everyone needs to make sure to do. You need to get your employer match. That's free money. Don't leave it on the table. If you're leaving it on the table, it's likely just going back into the already deep pockets of your employer, or it's potentially getting distributed out to other people in your plan, but just take the money that's offered to you. Also, make sure you're paying off high interest debt. So that 7% student loan, there's even one, I think, really close to 8%. We had to get that out of there, and we got it out of there via refinancing, but these student loan amounts, we're still targeting paying them off early, even though they're a little bit lower of an interest rate and kind of in that range where you could consider not paying them off. But again, that's a decision that each and every one of you gets to make, and that's what's so fun. Max out retirement accounts. You heard in the case study in episode one that the blanket advice of just max out your retirement accounts may not be perfect for everyone, but it's a great starting point to consider what would it look like for my cash flow and budgeting if I were to max out my retirement accounts. Maybe it's easy and you still have the money to hit your other goals. Then go for it. Maybe it is something like in Olivia's case back in episode one, where it's not something you need to be doing right now. Maybe you need to be saving for a home down payment or paying off your student loans. And then the next step is build wealth. Let your money work and enjoy your money while you can. That's the retirement trade-off there. It's really something we considered a lot. And now the next step for us, that is CoastFi and beyond. So what happens in October 2028 when you pay off these student loans? There's flexibility. There's CoastFi, potential financial independence, retire early. And the mental freedom that my wife feels no longer required to work because these student loans are out of the picture. There's a lot of things that opens up. Rebecca could work part-time. She could continue to work full-time. She could quit her job. With CoastFi, she could keep working, and we save to a point where our investments grow so we can retire at whatever age we set. There's a lot of great CoastFi calculators out there, and if you're interested in it, leave a comment down below and we can talk about it in future episodes. If you have any questions about it, I'd love to cover them. It's such a fun topic. There's also the option of regular financial independence, and we could retire early. The mental freedom is going to outweigh the financial freedom because that's one stress off both of our minds. So in this case study, what would we do differently? We'd refinance sooner. I would have refinanced so fast if I would have thought about it, but I didn't think about it till an ad showed up. We didn't have the student loans for that long, but I refinanced them at a later point than I probably would have liked to. If you have a student loan that's above 5 or 6%, run a refinancing calculation and see what kind of a rate you can get. You don't have to pull the trigger immediately, but it allows you to begin making decisions and know your options. I also would like to reframe the narrative around student loans. They can be an advantageous tool, and I wish I would have thought about it ahead of time because we could have potentially been more intentional and more optimized with our student loans. Make sure you know how much you're borrowing versus your future income, understand what you're signing up for, and make sure you have a clear repayment plan before you graduate. Rebecca's salary is about $103,000 or more, and it's probably only going to be higher, so about $60,000 in student loans was a good trade-off for that debt-to-income ratio, and it was manageable and overall not insurmountable. And while there may not be COVID interest rate pauses anymore, if an opportunity presents itself with student loans, take advantage of it. It's something that you can use to further your financial plan and your financial situation. It's okay. You can take advantage of low interest rates or whatever may be available to you, especially if you're in an undergraduate program. Subsidized loans can be a huge benefit for you because you could do something maybe like what I suggested, where you use I-bonds to grow tax-free for qualified education expenses, but that's getting a little bit into the specifics. Consider the options that are available to you with student loans. They may not all be that bad. How do you actually do this? I got three steps for you to share real quick here. Automate everything. Automation is everything. It's a crucial superpower. Automating our payments makes it so much easier. Also, use a spreadsheet to track the math. While you may not need a mathematically perfect plan, if you use a spreadsheet to measure it, then it's going to get managed. And figure out your extra money rule. This is key for Rebecca and I. First priority might be investing right now, or it could be student loan payments, or it could be extra savings elsewhere. If you can figure out one, two, or three things that you can juggle between of where you want your extra money to go, it's going to make it a whole lot easier to actually use the extra money when it comes into your life, whether it's an extra paycheck, a bonus from work, or whether it's some stock growth that you've decided to sell and you're now going to use those gains for something. Have an extra money rule because that can be absolutely a huge deal towards making your money actually do what you want it to do. Because so often we come into extra money and what do? We spend it. So have an extra money rule so that you actually save it for yourself. So I have a couple key takeaways here that I want to share from our journey. Make sure you balance the emotions and math. Student loans aren't just all about the numbers. There's a real psychological weight to them. And for us, the freedom from debt is going to be huge. It's going to be way better than any mathematical benefit we could have figured out. If your interest rate is 6% or higher, you could refinance and get a lower interest rate and save some real money. Another key takeaway, especially once you actually get out of school, is don't pause investing. We are still continuing to try to max out our Roth IRAs and get Rebecca's employer match while we're paying down the loans, because the compound interest that you miss in your 20s is impossible to regain down the road. And remember, automation always wins. Set up automatic payments so you can remove that monthly decision fatigue from having to log in and make the payment. Make sure you actually stick to your plan, and automation can be a great way to help you do that. And figure out a balanced timeline. It might be 5 years, it might be two. For us, it was about three and a half years. And I promise you can find your timeline that's going to leave room for your values and leave room for a good payoff timeline. And the math will be fine, because honestly, who cares about the math if you're enjoying life and enjoying your values that you're getting to spend on with money? And the other takeaway is student loans can be an investment. My wife, we used student loans to further her career, and now she's getting paid a high salary, and that was a beneficial investment for us. Honestly, the investment return on that $60,000 is probably going to far outweigh what we could get in the stock market during that time. So make sure you're using them strategically, and don't be afraid to take advantage of offers and student loan potential, because there might be an opportunity out there that can truly benefit your financial situation. And now, what can you take away from this episode and go discuss with your fellow money buddies? What is your emotional burden with debt? 60% of borrowers report student loans negatively affect their mental health. How is it affecting your mental health? Leave a comment down below. What's your financial freedom date? What's your debt freedom date? When do you want to be debt free? Debt free can be a huge milestone, and maybe you never want to be debt free, but I would even challenge you to think through what could debt free truly mean for you if you didn't have committed monthly obligations to debt payments. This is a huge one, especially if you know friends with student loans. Bring up the refinancing discussion. I wish I would have thought of it sooner. I can't believe I didn't think of it sooner. So please do your friends a favor and bring up the refinancing discussion and calculate your refinancing cutoff and see how much money you can actually save. And identify your core values. Go back and listen to episode 1 and figure out your financial why. That way you know where you can put those extra available dollars and you can make them truly be meaningful and impactful. And for every single one of us, there can be a good balance between investing and debt payoff. And automation is going to be a huge factor in that. So make sure you're figuring out your debt and investing balance and then automate whatever plan you set, because you can always adjust it. But more times than not, you're going to be okay with just leaving it as is and letting it chug along and keep investing and keep paying off your debt at the plan that you figured out. That's today's episode about how I made my wife cry with money. I hope you were able to learn something and take something away from this episode. What's a decision that you feel like you need help with the logical and emotional side of the conversation? I would love to extend this conversation with each and every one of you listening. Head over to the show notes and click on my email and send me an email with the big financial decision that's weighing on your mind that you would like some help with reasoning the logical and emotional side and seeing a new angle to it. And if you want to hear some fellow money buddies stories, I may share them on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episode, and especially go check out your podcast feed, because there are 4 other episodes releasing today with the launch of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Be sure to go and check those out, and I hope you're able to learn a lot from today's launch. And whatever you're dealing with financially, just know that you're not alone in dealing with these financial struggles. We're all here to talk about it, because when we talk about money more, we do better with money together. And now, for me and my wife, we managed to figure this out just a few years into our marriage, and our financial marriage is all the better off for it. I couldn't believe how ignorant I was being to the role that the student loans were playing in my wife's mindset around working. I figured the math was going to be all that I needed to figure out, but there is so much more to our money than just math, and I know that now. Thank you to each of you fellow money buddies for checking out this episode. If you made it here to the end, I would greatly appreciate a like on YouTube and a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Have a great week. And hey, quick heads up, this podcast, it's meant to be educational and it's for entertainment purposes. It's not personalized financial advice for your specific situation. So before you go out and make any big money moves, make sure you chat with a qualified financial professional who knows your full financial picture.